Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast, and thank you for showing up today, taking some time out of all those shiny objects out there to Edge God In more today than yesterday. Our mission here at Edge God In is very simple, yet very profound, to champion human potential in Christ. So come today and listen and re-listen right where you are at, because that's where God meets you, in the midst of your attitude, your emotions, your motives. Toss it all into the lap of Christ. This is our topic today. We're going to be exploring questions, the power of questions, in light of our attitudes, emotions, and our motives. So I'm pretty confident that if you're tuned in today, you came to this podcast with a specific attitude. And the definition of attitude is simply a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. So you're coming to this podcast with a settled way of thinking or feeling, and you're bringing that to whatever we're going to add of value through the power of the Holy Spirit today. You're also coming today, if you're still wearing this Earth suit, to this podcast with emotions. And your emotions are basically your natural instincts. It's your body's response to what you're thinking about, your state of mind. And your emotions actually come from your experiences with circumstances that create your mood or relationships with others. And this fuels motives, the attitudes, emotions, and the motives. And your motives are actually a reason for doing something, a reason for doing something that's often hidden. And Jesus was so powerful at calling people out for their motives, because he was all about helping us to get over ourselves so that we can anchor our identity in Christ and be who we are, whether we're inside our house or outside our house. So I am joined today by a very dear friend of mine who also happens to be a colleague and trainer, mentor of mine as well, Judy Coleman. And she was actually part of the training that she's the one that was my mentor in my training as a Sherpa executive coach. She also is one of the headquarters Sherpa executive coaches, and she's a master Sherpa executive coach. And I want to go so far as to say a master at understanding the power of questions for positive transformation as well as impact in life. So, Holy Spirit, we are here today. Give us the strength to tune into one to three things to help us overcome a bad attitude, to help us manage our emotions from a place of a pure heart, a place where you dwell. And we also give you permission to convict our hearts over the hidden motives we have that showcase the desires of the flesh more than the desires of the Spirit. Thank you that you're with us today. I pray that you would use the words of our mouth, meditations of our heart for your glory to edify all those people that are tuning into today's call. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Judy.
Yes.
How are you today, sister?
I am great, and I'm excited for this conversation. And in preparation for this conversation, I'm just constantly reminded at how awesome the Lord is and how he does things, which I'm learning more about every day.
Isn't that great that we're never left empty-handed of Earth School classes?
Not ever.
To practice what we teach.
Yes.
So yes. We were chatting before we jumped on the recording today, and you were sharing with me some observations that you were making regarding questioning and Jesus. Can you share with listeners today what you shared with me jumping in? Because it was really powerful.
Yes. As I was looking at questions, I realized, first of all, it is said that there are over 300 questions that have been focused upon in the Bible, and that Jesus, the large majority of the time, did not answer questions. And it's interesting because we think of him as being the answer man. We're constantly looking for him to answer our questions because we have so many, the great mystery, and there's just so much that we don't know. So we're constantly asking him to answer our questions when the truth is he was the ultimate question asker. So he asked us more questions than he actually gave us answers. And so his questions to us were always for the purpose to really make us think about ourselves and think about him and repent to him and return to him. So his questions are always powerful, always open-ended, always timely, and it always makes you think about your motives and your attitudes, and are they at all in line with him?
How does this play out? Give us an example on a day-to-day basis.
I think we always have an opportunity, some of the powerful questions that Jesus asked are things like, why are you so afraid? You know, because when we're afraid, we often act terrible. Mm. You know,
speaking the truth right now.
In the midst of being afraid, we don't like being afraid, and we have all of these ways that we deal with our own fears. We're very emotional about it and often very reactive in the midst of our fears. And he is constantly asking us why we are so afraid when we know he's with us right now. You know, we know that he is never going to leave us nor forsake us. We know that he didn't give us the spirit of fear. We should be able to identify immediately that that's not the Lord and he and all the things that he is. So I think in all of those emotions, they start to provoke lots of things that are not of God. I also have seen where he asked, why do we doubt? Because some of this is the direct result of us still not being able to see or understand him. So therefore, we doubt. And he keeps asking us, you know, what's up with that? Because there's so many times where he says, you know me. You know who I am. And yet, here you are. I always say living under our power. Mm. And so he asked those open-ended questions around doubt and our belief, because we know that our beliefs, are the way we believe fuels our behaviors.
Oh, well, that's part of the definition of attitude, because a common definition of attitude that's used and that I feel really nails what it actually is when it comes to boots on the ground, experiencing our own attitudes day in and day out. It's a settled way of thinking or feeling. So it's thinking or feeling about someone or something. It's an attitude, and it's typically one that's reflected in our behavior.
Yes. And we can get so set in that behavior, we can get so steeped in it, in whatever it is, where he has to ask us sometimes, do you want to get well? Like the man at the pool, you know, I've been here forever.
Bethesda.
I've been here forever and ever and ever, and woe is me. Mm-hmm. And I'm always last. And that's kind of where we sit in that Lord, take us out of this. Do this for me. But we're sitting steeped in that emotion. And his response to that is, well, do you want to get well?
That is so powerful, Judy. That's one of my favorite questions because it guides the person back to themselves. Do I want to get well?
Yes.
Do you want to get well? So listeners, I ask you today, whatever it is that you are stuck in an attitude, a bad attitude about something, nothing ever works out for me, everything works out for other people, whatever your attitude is that doesn't reflect the presence of Christ or your love for Jesus Christ, an attitude that does not reflect your love for Jesus Christ, do you want to get better? Do you want to be freed from that? Because the emotions, it's interesting, these three categories, and perhaps we'll do another podcast to really jump into just the power of how this creates our motives. Because if Judy, if I come to you with an attitude, a bad attitude that I don't feel, that I feel overlooked, let's say I have an attitude that I'm overlooked, right? Other people get picked over me. So I come to you with this attitude and I'm asking for something, but yet my motive, because I have that bad attitude, is wanting to be picked. My motive may come across as, oh yeah, yeah, no, that sounds great. I'm really happy for you. And I'd like to do that as well. If it's planted in rotten soil of negativity, then the emotions that are going to reflect that motive are going to guide negative behavior somewhere along the line. How do you guide a person, or how do you imagine Jesus using questioning in that situation? Let's take the man at the pool of Bethesda that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. He'd been sitting there for 30 some odd years. Everybody had been jumping ahead of him.
Yeah.
Perfect example. Jesus comes up. He starts giving his perfect pity party, which we all do, totally guilty.
For sure.
And how long have you been here? He tells Jesus. And then he asks him that question. Do you want to get well? Not the first time that he's asked people this question. What are the questions that we can use for ourselves that we can imagine Jesus asking us to help us get out of a bad attitude that fuels negative emotions and those hidden motives, right, that cause those deceptive behaviors?
That is such a big question.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's massive.
And some of my thought for myself is, have you consulted the Word of God at all? You know, we often do that after the fact instead of right when we're in it. You know, what he also asked the question, what is written in the law? You know, do you read it? I really think that when we're able to go back to the Word of God, it starts to put us in a different perspective. It throws something else in there, the living Word, which then starts to shape our perspective in a different way. First of all, it breaks the self-absorption, if I could put it that way, of just being so.
You could totally put it that way, because that's what it is.
So stuck on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Get over yourself. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's think on these things. Mm. If you know that your healing is already done, the question becomes, how do you walk in that as opposed to the woe is me? You know, how do I make the connection in my belief that says he will, if I, you know, he will. He told us he would, if we believe that, you know. And I went through a season in my life that I actually had to say to myself, Judy, the Lord is not your personal magician. And
that's powerful.
It really, because I think some of this happens because we just don't know him. Mm-hmm. We just don't know him. And so we get caught up. And we get comfortable in that caught up space because we really don't know what it would be like if we were free of that. You know, what if we were free of that? Mm.
Who would I be if I wasn't exactly. in that space? Or who would I be if I wasn't afraid?
You know, if I could pick up my bed and walk, what would that look like? I've been sitting here complaining so long, I have no idea what it would look like on the other side. And I think you have to have some kind of interruption of that thought. And that's what a question does. It interrupts that train of thought to make you have to consider something else. So the question, do you even want to be well? Wow, I'm so stuck on being sick. That's what I know. What do you mean, do I want to be well? Because we assume it's like, duh. Well, of course. Well, maybe not so. I'll give you a personal example. I hope that's okay.
Please do.
I have started going to a nutritionist. And I went for my second visit this week. And she said, how did you do? And I immediately started telling her what went wrong. This exact thing. What went wrong? Great. I was traveling for a month. You know, I just went into this whole song and dance. And she looked very kindly at me. And she said, you know what I heard? Is that since I saw you last, you've been traveling a lot. And you have been thinking about treating yourself better in terms of what you eat. And by the way, you did not gain any weight. And this is not as much about weight as it is health. But she says, you didn't gain a pound. That's what I heard.
Wow. That's amazing. That's, you know, and that's incredible, because instantly when you're saying that, it's the character of Christ.
Yes.
That he always, it's like the prayer, dear God, help me to see others for who they desire to be rather than how their behavior shows up.
Yes.
Because Jesus on the cross said, forgive them, they don't know what they do. Yes. The only thing that makes sense is a moment like that of generous gifting, of reminding the person of who they really are.
Yes.
Of the person they're created to be.
You know how in coaching, even we will say separate the person from the behavior. Allow them to see that they are not their behavior. Mm-hmm. And they can choose. They can choose their behavior. They can choose how it shows up.
And a question opens that up, opens the mind up to choice.
It does. Because when you're being asked, do you want to be well? Well, my goodness. It stops the whole show.
Absolutely. I mean, even just taking, because we're, you know, speaking about the attitude, because it's an, you know, the attitude is a settled way of thinking. And as you mentioned, a question interrupts that train of thought. So the question interrupts the train of thought, your settled way of thinking, that whatever the attitude is that we're carrying, we all have our bag of attitudes, and to just run them through effective questions. Do I have to stay here? How does this serve me? Is there another way? What's this about? That one statement that you mentioned, Judy, is so powerful, because it provides a solution to being stuck in a bad attitude, that a question interrupts the train of thought. Wow. Jesus was masterful at this.
Masterful. And if you notice, he didn't get, he never lost his cool, if I could put it that way. He just very calmly, I picture him calmly taking a breath, if not shaking his head, going, oh, you know.
I'm reminded of the encounter of the woman who ran into the Pharisee's house, who Jesus was having dinner at, and she was crying and wiped his feet with her tears and used expensive oil. And here you have the Pharisee judging right next to Jesus, not in his out loud voice, but Jesus could read our thoughts, and he was reading his thoughts, and he asked permission. Simon, can I tell you a story? And he used a story of the man who went to the front of the church and said, thank you, God, that I'm not like all these sinners. And the one in the back of the church that was weeping, repenting, I'm not even worthy to be in your presence here.
Yeah.
Which one of these left in right relationship with God? And his response was, I'm sure he was kind of rolling his eyes like, all right, I see where you're going with this. All right, I got it. You know, he just told a story. Because we mix our stories with stories, and stories actually evoke the same part of the brain of curiosity as a well-posed question. And Jesus was so masterful at this. You mentioned, Judy, the power of the Word of God. And I am such a huge fan of any opportunity to encourage listeners, open up your Bible, get the Bible app, read. What does it say on Jesus, how he showed up? Read through the Gospels. One of the verses out of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, your attitude should be the same as Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to a dissertation of what Jesus was like.
Yep.
Even though he was in the presence of God and had the same nature of God, he didn't even consider himself equal. He was humble.
Yes.
It's true. And as you mentioned, Judy, we got to get over ourselves.
Yeah.
Because when we think about attitude, emotions, and motives, they're all planted in the ground of selfishness when the harvest reaps negative behavior. It's like when I was having a totally self-absorbed season, and Jesus said, are you done yet?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I heard. I knew exactly what he was talking about. Are you done yet? And I was like, yes, I am. and then he started doing his work.
Yes.
Because he's such a gentleman. He stands at the door of our heart and knocks. Mm-hmm. And he'll keep knocking. Until we open the door, until you open a door. Another question is, how's that feel? How's that bad attitude feel for you, carrying that around? That must be heavy.
It absolutely is.
Weighs you down.
Every situation, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we were not created to carry that weight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I always say, he makes it simple and we make it complex. So we insist on carrying that around when he told us we could lay it at his feet. You know, he told us all these different ways that we can relieve the load, and we insist on carrying it. And, you know, he's constantly reminding us that, you know, he gave us our emotions. So we're going to have it. We're going to have them, but sin not. So, you know, yes. You can have these emotional kinds of these feelings. Now, what are you going to do? And that becomes your behavior.
Mm.
And that's where you see what's being harbored in your heart. What you do, my goodness, will show you what's in your heart.
Mm. And taking that into a scripture in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart.
Yes.
For they shall see God.
Yes.
Can we see God, or do we, this is a question, do we see God in a bad attitude?
Not ever.
Do we see God in negative emotions, jealousy, envy, strife, comparison, less than feelings, self-doubt? Or do we see God in the motives of, I'm doing this, but I really want something out of it? Perhaps maybe that's your one takeaway from today, to just move forward and to filter your awareness through the eyes of Christ. Jesus, I give you permission to help me to see how many motives I have that are fueled from self-focus, how many motives are coming from what, to even pause before you do anything and ask, I don't want to even do this if I can't do it in a way that glorifies you.
Yes.
And to really pause and lean into Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart. Do you want to see God? Do you want to see God and know God? Then our work is in purifying our heart. In Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and a steadfast spirit. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of salvation and grant me, this is the key part, this is the behavior. This is the encounter that creates the positive behavior, a willing spirit to sustain me, a willing spirit to override negative emotions and to take back our sense of worth and value so that we can feel a positive attitude in Christ versus a negative attitude in the shiny objects. We will always be left empty-handed, my brothers and sisters in Christ, when we seek those things outside of us. When the women ran to the tomb and the angels were standing there, and one of them said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? When we look outside of ourselves for those things that only God can provide within our interior castle, our interior world, our heart, then we will continue to rise and fall, negative attitude to negative attitude to negative emotion to negative emotion to false motives. I really want to get something out of this because I feel that I deserve it. Sense of entitlement flows in there, lack of accountability. Yes. It's a vicious cycle all wrapped up into one invitation. Do you want to see God? Blessed are the pure in heart. Now, actually, the Greek word for pure is katharos, and it means to be clean, blameless, unstained. The Greek word for heart is, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but kardia, K-A-R-D-E-E-A-H. And it's a Greek word that means the spiritual center of life. It's where we have a sense of purpose, pure in heart. It's where we have a sense of purpose. So blessed are the pure, those who are clean, blameless, unstained in their motives, pure, clean, blameless in their emotions. Yeah, you're going to feel angry. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Toss it into the lap of Jesus. In your attitude, a settled way of thinking, Lord, I'm not going to be settled in anything but you. My soul is restless until it rests in you. Blessed are the pure in heart. That is your sense of purpose. Your sense of purposeful guidance is your heart. You will see God. When we toss our heart into the heart of Christ, we forget, and Judy, this is a powerful space that I believe Jesus was, every soul he encountered was to remind the mind of the people he encountered of whose they were. Remind the mind. You forgot. So perhaps you forgot. If you have a bad attitude, negative emotions, and false motives from selfish ambitions and vain conceits, you have simply forgotten. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it.
You know, Lauren, it brings to mind, you know, think on these things. We're thinking about so much garbage. We're allowing ourselves to be exposed to so many things that are not of Christ or who he is, because we think we can handle it. And we can't. And there are just things that seep into us. And then we wake up one day and something comes out of our mouth, or we're feeling a certain kind of way, and we wonder where that came from. We have to guard our hearts because out of them, you know. And I don't know about anybody else, but it's surprising to me every now and then a thought that I'll have, and I'll say, you know, where did that come from? And you need to capture that immediately, because that just means there's some stuff in there that's just, wow, you know, I'm wowed by myself. And I think that that's the reason why in some of Jesus's questions, he's given us an opportunity to think about what we're thinking about because he already knows. And there is some repentance and forgiveness in that mess of that bad attitude, you know, those emotions and motives. It's so big, all of what's mixed in there, and that we're not capable of cleaning that up by ourselves. So we want to appreciate when he asks us these questions, or when he helps us cough that up and see ourselves for who we are, because he's given us what to do about that too. We can't trust ourselves so much because we're not capable.
Amen. Amen, sister. That is such a valuable invitation, that come as you are. Just come as you are. Look at how Jesus purposely planted himself. I came to seek and save the lost.
Yes.
Not those who don't think they need to be saved and lost. Those who are truly lost. And when we have those bad attitudes and they're driving our bus, our bad attitude is driving the bus, and our emotions and our false motives for selfish ambitions and vain conceits, wow, we need to hand the wheel over. Jesus, take the wheel.
Yes.
Jesus, take the wheel. We need turn that over.
There's also an old gospel song that says, you know, take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you, because I feel so far away from you, but still I hear you calling me. The memories that I once knew are drawing me. I must confess, Lord, I've been blessed, but my soul is not satisfied. Renew my faith, restore my joy, you know, because we're all capable of, you know, going awry. And the beauty is he will remind us, like you said, he will remind us who we are, and he will remind us who he is.
That is so powerful. And when we remember whose we are, and that we have the mind of Christ, and he is making his appeal through us for his glory, that we are a chosen people, a royal nation, that he's called us by name out of darkness into light, that we may declare the praises of him who loves us right in the middle of the mess.
Yes.
And loves us right there. And it's the love that transforms.
Yes.
That we're never the same. Jesus loves you.
Yes.
Jesus Christ of Nazareth loves you. God loves you. No matter what. Yes. Right where you are at. And he loves us enough not to leave us there. That's why the questions, how's that feel for you? Are you done yet? And it's that invitation out of a bad attitude into the same attitude of Christ. Out of a bad emotion into the emotion of the joy of the Holy Spirit. I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. Remain in me and I will remain in you, so that your joy, your emotion of joy, would be complete. The closer we draw to Christ, the more our emotions are linked to our love for him.
Yes.
And that evokes the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control of the Holy Spirit. And when we are walking the walk and we have that pure heart with Christ, he keeps our motives clean and gives us that pure heart. And that's what sets us free, truly sets us free. So we're at the end of today's podcast. I'm pretty confident we're going to be doing another podcast specifically pulling out motives. When we were very, very young, we didn't know how to be one way and act another. As we grew up to be adults, we become very good at being one way and acting another.
Yeah.
And so, Judy, this might be a part two series to this, if you'll come join us again, just to jump into that and how to override that Jekyll and Hyde part of our personalities of being one way and acting another. Jesus jumps right in there and calls us up and out of that.
Yes.
So This will be continued, I'm pretty confident. And thank you, Judy, so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Holy Spirit, we pray that the meditations of our heart moving forward based on the material we focused on, specifically on remembering whose we are in you, that you call us to be pure in heart. Whatever you call us to, Lord, you will take our hand and guide us into that experience. So we ask that you would make us pure in heart in our attitude, pure in heart in our emotions, pure in heart in our motives. Now moving forward, we give you control over our attitude, emotions, as well as our motives. Help us to remember that we have your mind, that you have created a pure heart within us. Help us to experience that more today than yesterday. In your most precious name we pray, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to edge God in, and may God bless the work of your hands and heart as you move forward. You can join us for more podcasts at edgegodin.com, and there is a handout that goes along with us to capture your learnings. You can also access that under the resources at edgegodin.com. So enjoy flipping your attitude, emotions, and motives into the lap of Jesus Christ and watching how that lights the version of who you are in this world up and those people around you. Have a blessed day today.